And now on this very interestingly timed episode of Miami Mic'd Up, I'm very happy to welcome back a constant guest on this program. I told you he'd be back later in the Heat season, and here he is. It is the WPLG sports director and your favorite sideline reporter. Me and Kelly throw us to the side. It's Will Manso.
Stop.
Will, stop. It's great to have you here. It's great to have you here. Yeah. Thank you for coming back once again.
It's great to be on. I wish it was under different circumstances. Like we were talking about the seating locked up and the Heat in the playoff race, you know, but it is what it is. They make things harder themselves. That's for sure.
Yeah. As is always the case. It's always so interesting to see where the Heat are at. But before we dive into everything with that, obviously, you know, this time of the year, three different major sports going on, obviously mm-hmm. college basketball just wrapped up, a lot going on your plate. So I got to ask, what's recently brought you joy outside of work?
It's always about the kids and the family. It was a random day off. We had a random day off yesterday. So all the girls, which is rare because my oldest is 18. She's getting ready to go to college in the summer. Shout out to FAU because she's going to be an owl.
Hey,
she's
hey.
Excited. Yeah. So and then the middle one is a junior in high school and then the little one's a third grader. So rarely because the older one drives and she's got a job and she's getting ready mm-hmm. for college. Rarely do I get them all at one time. So yesterday we did, and I said, 10 a.m., everybody be ready. We're going out to the beach, and we're just going to have a beach day. And it was a beautiful day, nice. And there was nobody around us. And we just listened to music, played volleyball with the girls. And it was a much-needed kind of mental break before getting back into this grind.
Well, that's perfect transition because, ironically, that's what Bam Adebayo said the Heat need after last night's game. He said the Heat would go out, get some sun, recover from their loss against the Dallas Mavericks and regroup before these final couple of games against the Toronto Raptors. And for those of you tuning in who don't know exactly where things stand as of right now, you're listening to this on Friday morning, April 12th, and it is a mess of an Eastern Conference. I mean, if you look at the actual standings right now, and I'm gonna pull them up specifically just so that we can do this real quick. If you look at the full standings of the Eastern Conference, and you take a look at seeds, even really 2 through 8, but 3 through 8, you got the Knicks sitting 15 games back of the Boston Celtics, but just a half game back of them is Cleveland. A full game back at Cleveland, you've got Orlando and Indiana. One more game distance to Philly and another game of distance to Miami. So you're talking about 3.5 games between the 3 through 8 seeds in the conference. It's a mishmash that really, down to the final day of the year, likely won't be settled. But when it comes to the Miami Heat in particular, here's where things stand. The likelihood is the Heat are going to be the 8 seed. In order to get the 6 seed, the Heat would need to win these last two games against the Raptors, which, you know, very well could and should happen. But they would also need the 76ers to beat the Magic and lose to the Brooklyn Nets. Mm-hmm. And then have the Magic not only lose to Philadelphia, but also lose to the Milwaukee Bucks, who they've already lost to and are without Giannis Antetokounmpo. So a 6 seed is likely out of the question.
Yeah.
And in order to get the 7 seed, it's win out and the Magic lose out. Now, these things are possible. The Heat could very well host that play-in game, and anything could happen. The Heat could very well end up in the 6th seed, but they're likely the 8th seed going on the road to Philly or Orlando. We'll know the result of the game between them on Friday night before our 8 p.m. game on Bally Sports wraps up between the Heat and the Raptors. But, Will, I've thrown a lot of information at you. I've set up the seeding. What are your sort of general thoughts about where the Heat stand right now?
You know, it's frustrating because you just said all the different scenarios, and it's the same thing. It feels like last year all over again, right? This time last year, we were trying to figure out, are they a play-in? We didn't know what a play-in was really in this town because we'd never had one before, right? The NBA is trying to spark all this excitement. That never mattered to the Miami Heat. They're always going to be a top 5 or 6 seed at worst. But obviously last year changed things. This year they're going down the same path. When you look at the way things are set up, you know, I said it earlier, is that they have no one to blame but themselves. You know, and part of it is injuries. Look, you can't hide from that. This team has been banged up in and out lineup, but they've had opportunities. You know, they've had opportunities to close out games. And the one thing this team hasn't found all year is the consistency to just not just beat bad teams. They've done that pretty well throughout the year, but compete with good teams. Mm-hmm. And it's just unlike them because this is a championship caliber team, at least when you look at the last 4 years as a track record. And this year, they have not been anywhere close to being able to compete with quality teams consistently. And that's frustrating. So what does it leave you at? So that what you just described, this is a play-in fringe playoff type team right now, but the personnel when healthy doesn't seem to match. And I think that's the frustrating part about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's so funny because I feel like we're having rewind conversations and rerun conversations of the ones we did last year. And it's obviously in a different way. Last year, what the fatal flaw of the team was they were losing to the bad teams and beating the good teams. Mm-hmm. And they were wildly inconsistent shooting, but you saw the glimpses of what their offense could look like. They were getting open looks. Mm-hmm. Now you have a team that's beat the teams they're supposed to beat for the most part all season long. But I believe they're 0-10 against the top five teams in the West. They've struggled mightily against the great teams in this conference. And when their offense struggles, it's not just because they're not hitting open shots. They're struggling to get open shots. And that is the difference when you watch the team and the way that the offense kind of slogs along at some points. But, you know, you ultimately look at the matchups, and the irony is if we looked at it and it all ended today and the Heat were to win their play-in game, they would end up with the exact same path as last year. Milwaukee, New York, Boston. Yeah. And so the irony is it's setting up very similarly all over again. And so what I would ask you first is let's take the sort of short-term look between, and I think I know the answer here, but between going to Philadelphia and playing those Philadelphia 76ers or going to Orlando and playing the Magic, your preference, I imagine, would have to be playing the Magic.
Yeah, I mean, and the Magic, A, you had success against them. B, they don't have a lot of playoff experience. They're a young team that's kind of on the rise, but they've really slipped down the stretch, where the Sixers are the opposite. As you and I talk, I think they've won six straight. Mm-hmm. They've got Embiid back. You know, Maxey's been a little banged up, but he's been playing well, obviously at 52 the other day in a game. I mean, they seem to be peaking at the right time. You don't want to go on the road to Philly. Even though the Heat historically have done well against Philly the last few years and matched up well and played them and battled them well, you don't want to get in that. I think Orlando is ideal team and matchup for them. And then, as you said, the way it's set up, you know, the funny thing is too, Jeremy, is before you and I started chatting today, I was looking at, only because somebody had mentioned it to me, like, oh, this feels like the same thing in the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And it's eerie how much the last 5 years really have been similar. During the Jimmy era, right, this 5 year span, Jimmy's stats have been like this in the regular season. Like, they have not fluctuated. They've been right, you know, just about 21 points, about six assists, five rebounds, or you could flip those over. His 3-point shooting has increased. He's gotten better. And they have won. Remember last year, they won 44 games. This year, they're probably going to win 46 games if they win the last two against Toronto. The year before that, they had the 53-game season, the top seed season. But the 2 years before that, they won 42 and 44 games. And I know that a couple of them were shortened seasons because of the pandemic. But still, this team has been around from 42 wins to the one outlier of 53 wins. They're pretty much the same team they've been the last 5 years. So it's hard to put it in that perspective, because when you're living it, it stinks when they don't win these big games. But they find a way in the playoffs, and a path sets up the way you're talking about. Why not believe that they can get one more run in them? I think they've fooled us enough to know that they can do this.
Yeah, exactly. And particularly when you look at an Eastern Conference that's vulnerable, right? None of the teams outside of Boston are truly complete teams at the moment, particularly when you look over at Milwaukee and see that Giannis just got hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, they say he'll be back for the postseason, but he's ruled out for the final games of the regular season. And there's no, you know, we've seen guys try to come back a little too early from calf strains and Achilles injuries, and you just hope that, God forbid, I really hope that they don't rush him back into whatever series they're in, because you'd hate to see a long-term injury with a guy like Giannis. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you see it, and one thing of note with this team, and you pointed it out before, the injuries have been a huge factor in regard to the fact that this team has just not been able to put it together. And I believe they're fourth in the league in terms of missed games by teams, by players this season. It's either fourth or fifth in terms of total missed games due to injury. And the other four teams are all well below 500, not playoff teams. They're the only playoff team to have missed as many games to injuries as they have. Now, you have both Terry Rozier and Duncan Robinson missing time late in the season, these last couple of games, just as things started to come together. The hope for Heat Nation is both of those guys will be healthy and available come playoff time, come play-in time. With the emergence of Tyler Hero and the way that he's played over the last several games since coming back, I wonder, Will, what are your expectations for what a rotation could actually look like for this team? Because we quite literally have not seen it all season long.
Yeah, we've asked ourselves that question. Like, the one thing Heat fans have said the most this year, and media and everybody who covers the bus around the team, is, man, what would it look like? I can't wait to see this team at full health. And we saw for about 72 hours. And then Duncan, the recurring back issue, you know, he took the five games to try to heal, came back, didn't look right. Now he's out. Terry is carrying the team, and then his neck, you know, he injures his neck, and now he, you know, Spoh said yesterday, Terry's, you know, Terry's dealing with it. His back is jacked up. You know, it's an issue they got to take care of. Now, it doesn't sound like a long-term thing, but like Spoh said, he could wake up the next morning and, hey, I feel great, I'm moving great, or he could be where he can't even move his neck. We've all been there, especially when it comes to sleeping positions and the pillow and all that stuff. So I to answer your question, I don't know, because I want to see this. We all want to see this. We all want to see what this team can be, but we just haven't gotten a taste of it. At this point, it seems unrealistic to think that everybody's going to be healthy come the playoffs. I think what you would hope is that you get a sort of, Duncan close to 100%, Terry close to 100%, and just kind of ride. This time of the year, guys are going to be banged up. I get it. But man, just to see some sort of rotation, because let's go back to day one of training camp. What's the one message out of training camp that everybody said? Spoh said it. Deepest Heat team I've had in a long time. It's a deep team. We have so many pieces and parts. Well, those parts have been more of a mishmash of parts because of the injuries. If we could see some semblance of a rotation, maybe with Jimmy being playoff Jimmy and all the things that we expect, maybe they make a run. But it's frustrating to think that here we are, game 81, and we're still having this conversation about health.
Right. I mean, it's insane to think that's where we're sitting. I remember on, I believe it was game 80 of the season, not last year, but the year before, was when the Heat finally figured out what their starting lineup was going to be and inserting Max Strus into the starting lineup for Duncan Robinson. And that was such a huge decision, and ultimately the run they made toward seven games, again, of an Eastern Conference Finals coming up just short. But as you look at it this year, you know, the hope is that you can get Duncan back healthy. Obviously, he did not look like himself since returning from injury. And, you know, if it comes down to it, and ultimately he's not healthy, if Terry Rozier is back, essentially what you'll be seeing is Tyler Hero playing the role that Duncan Robinson's played all year long and having to adjust yet again. I'm really so impressed with the way that he's come back from injury and just snapped right back into being a bucket. Like, as he would describe it, he's a bucket. And the way that he played against Atlanta was really admirable. And really, he was one of the only guys who brought it offensively last night against Dallas. But these struggles offensively, I mean, how much of that do you think has to do with, you know, sort of the personnel that's on the team in general versus how much of it is just about health and not having that proper spacing out there with each other and, you know, Bam going through a full season of playing, you know, nearly every game and Jimmy Butler, you know, finding his moments to pick and choose his spots. How much of it is sort of just sort of up for, hey, not everybody's out there all the time?
I think that's a huge part of it. And that's not an excuse. It's a reality.
No, right.
When you have, they have, I think last I checked, third or fourth most starting lineups in the NBA this year. By the way, a franchise record for starting lineups in the year. And to your point earlier, the teams ahead of them are all bad. So those teams are like mixing and matching young guys and trying to figure things out for the future. This is a team in the playoff race that can't get a set lineup.
Right.
You know, so when you have that, there is, I don't care how good these guys are, and they're the best in the game at the highest level professionals. If you're not used to, you know, now Caleb's starting. Well, Caleb was coming off the bench. Now Tyler's being asked to do things Duncan does and maybe space out better and shoot, you know, catch and shoot more than drive in different situations. And then Duncan was in that role for a while, was looking great. And then Terry has the role where he has to be the guy that attacks and scores because Tyler's out. Like those things. And then you expect that full health, they're all back together and like, okay, well, what do I do? What do you do? Where are you on the floor? There are times where the Heat offense looks completely lost. And I think part of it is that. I mean, there are times where the spacing is terrible. There are two or three guys in one spot. There's no movement. There's a guy at the top of the key just dribbling the ball out. The shot clock's at five. I mean, these are things that Eric Spoelstra is probably ripping the hairs out of his head about, that he's trying to figure out the consistency. And the problem with the way the Heat are structured right now offensively is that everybody wants to say, Jimmy, save us. Like, hey, how many times do we hear that at the end of the game? It's a full-point game. The Heat needs Jimmy, save us. Well, what do you think the other team's thinking? They're going to ask Jimmy to save them. They're going to double Jimmy. They're going to make things tough on Jimmy. They're going to attack Jimmy. They're going to get Jimmy and not let him get in his spots. And if that's the case, someone else needs to score and attack. For the good stretch the Heat had a couple weeks ago, that someone was Terry Rozier.
Yep.
Maybe Terry's back and he's the guy. Maybe it's Tyler. Maybe it's Bam. But they got to figure it out, because one thing you cannot do, I get the Heat are going to counter their defense in the playoffs, but you can't win. You can't win in the playoffs scoring 95 points a game. You know, you can't win. You can't win playoff games scoring under 100 points. I'm sorry. Maybe you can steal one now and then, but that can't be the formula that you enter the playoffs like.
The good news for Miami is both Terry Rozier and Tyler Hero seem to be players who are not just comfortable, but kind of thrive late game situations, shot clock winding down. Tyler's been that way his entire career. And while Jimmy Butler is a great clutch performer, particularly was last year, when those moments come about and he needs to make the right basketball play, I do trust both of those guys in late game situations to do the right thing offensively. And if you can get the right mismatch issues, then you have a guy like Bam Adebayo who can theoretically take advantage as well. But that's the situation that you're in, where it's another tough, you know, slog along. And so ultimately the Heat are going to have to win a play-in game. Look, the reality is here, and everyone knows it, although, gosh, what was the conversation we were having last year? Do whatever you can to avoid Milwaukee. Do whatever you can to avoid the one seed Milwaukee. What I'm going to say here is do whatever you can to avoid the one seed Boston, because they're clearly the most complete team. Nobody wants to play them. I mean, again, we're recycling conversations from a year ago, but
it's true.
They're obviously the best team in the conference and have run away with this Eastern Conference. You want to win that one game play-in, but I have an interesting hypothetical for you here, Will. In terms of your confidence meter, I talked about this with Wes Goldberg and David Ramil over on Locked On Heat a little earlier this week. And I brought it to Lebatard show as well. To me, in terms of my confidence, I have more confidence in the Heat in a 7-game series against anybody not named Boston, as opposed to the 1-game sample size against either Atlanta or Chicago, should they lose that first play-in game. Am I crazy? Yeah. Am I crazy to say I'm more confident in a 7-game series than I would be in just the 1-game sample against teams that are under 500?
You're not crazy for two reasons. Number one is that game that you're hypothetically talking about is an elimination game.
Right.
And an elimination game, all is thrown out the window. And if you have one off night, officiating's bad, you're just missing shots, the ball's, you know, just sliding off the rim, it's just not going, dropping in, you're done, your season's over. Mm-hmm. We're in a 7-game series against anyone not named Boston, but even named Boston. But I mean, I don't want to face Boston the first one.
No, I mean, I'll take Boston.
You have Eric Spoelstra, who can manipulate a plan and figure things out to attack a certain thing. Hey, is Giannis hurt? Let's attack him. If that's really the case, is he not the same? Where can we go in Boston? Let's take Porzingis out of the game, put somebody on Tatum. There are plans. It doesn't mean it's going to work, but you like your chances in a series like that with Eric Spoelstra, you know, moving parts around and that crazy mind of his working. Yeah. One game, last year, I don't think I've ever seen so much stress in watching a Heat game, and go figure it, a playing game, than that second playing game last year. The arena was so uncomfortable all night. Pre-game, seeing Pat Riley and everybody, Andy Ellisberg, and everybody was like, man, this is really it. This could end, which is so unusual because, again, that's normally happening in a series, right? It's a game six. It's a game seven. You want to force a game seven or whatever it may be. This is a one-game playoff game. You know, that's it. Avoid it at all costs and then figure out what's happening in the playoffs in a 7-game series.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm glad that you've talked me down from feeling a little crazy, because
no, you're not crazy.
I will take my chances in a 7-game series with this team up against just about anybody. And you know, the irony in all of this conversation, right, is not just a couple of calls go your way against Indiana, but if you score a grand total of 8 more points between games against Philadelphia and Indiana, 8 more points total, not even double digits between those two games, you're sitting there right now as the 4 seed in the conference, threatening for the 3 seed, feeling really good about where things are at, as opposed to the sky falling. And obviously the flaws that are there with this team would be the same flaws. The issues that you could foresee going into a series would be those same issues. But if the Heat are even close to full strength, whether Terry Rozier and Duncan Robinson come back, whether they just get one of them back, if you see that team, you see Jimmy Butler in the postseason, that we were having the same questions going into the postseason last year, and you see the man who is very clearly the best coach in the conference and Eric Spoelstra leading the way, I'll take that team in getting to 4 wins out of 7 games against just about anybody. So the position that I leave you in here, Will, is I'm going to make you make a prediction. How do you think this all shakes out in terms of seeding? How do you think this all shakes out in terms of the results in those play-in games? And what ultimately do you think happens in the first round of the playoffs?
I look at it this way, and you touched on it a bit earlier, so I'm just going to kind of recap it, that the Eastern Conference. No one scares me but Boston. Boston scares me because they've had a historic season. They have a great season. They seem to have everything in rhythm. Porzingis was a great addition. And the knock on Porzingis was, oh, he's not going to stay upright all year.
Here he is.
He's upright. Yeah. He's healthy, and he is an issue. So whatever knocks there were on Boston preseason have all been eliminated. Sure, the Joe Mazzulla factor, can he outcoach another coach in the playoffs in big strategic moments? That's to be determined. But that's the one team to me that's above and beyond, like you said earlier. Anyone who argues and says, and I get it a lot, it's like, well, everybody else improved. I'm sorry, I don't think everybody else improved. I look at Milwaukee, the Dame dynamic has been bizarre since day one. He didn't want to be there. He hasn't fit in right. Maybe he becomes Dame time in the playoffs and he's great.
Yeah.
Now the Giannis injury hanging over your head. The Knicks seem to make the right moves, but then all of a sudden Randall's out, which we know is a big part of theirs. OG has been phenomenal for them, but he's got his issue. Is he going to be at full health? Randall's, again, out. Brunson's amazing, but is he going to get the guy that just leads you through games? And you go down the line, Cleveland has issues. Orlando, there are issues. I mean, Indiana, they can score with anybody, but they can't defend.
Right.
So I guess to answer your question, the way I see this happening is, to me, the East is wide open. Get in, step one. I think the Heat will host Orlando in the play-in game. I could be completely wrong. This could be all a moot point in a couple of days, but I think Orlando's going to lose their final two games, and I think the Heat are going to win their final two games.
Huge.
I think Philly's going to take care of business and beat Brooklyn. Philly's in the playoffs. I think the Heat will then beat Orlando and be the seventh seed, and you figure out if it's Milwaukee or New York in the first round and go from there. I think most Heat fans will say, give me Milwaukee because of what we just talked about, the Giannis factor potentially, and also the they haven't looked great, but – whatever game, whatever series, it's going to be a tough series. I still like their chances, but step one, win these final two games, win that first play-in game and go from there. And all the complaining that we've all done, Heat fans, you and I, everybody else, about the inconsistencies of this team don't matter anymore. They're in the playoffs in a seven-game series with Eric Spoelstra, hopefully close to full health, and see where you go from there.
I really appreciate that perspective because I do think that, there have been so many, specifically if you go on Twitter, man, there have been a lot of toxic conversations that have happened. And yet, this team is in a position that, no, are they going to be automatically in the postseason? Are they going to end up with the sixth seed? More likely than not, no, they will not. Will they have to play their way in? Yes. But if they do, especially if they can win that first play-in game. And by the way, if they do have to somehow travel to either Orlando or Philadelphia,
they're a better road team.
Better on the road than they've been. Yeah, they've been better on the road.
I don't want to be at home.
Right?
I don't want to be at home.
Right. We let these guys go travel somewhere else. Bring the first home game be game three of a first round series. But that's what we're looking at. And I think I feel the same way you do. Puncher's chance against just about anybody, for that matter, including Boston. If you go into Boston and win game one, they'll be buckling those knees. But Will, as always, really enjoy talking with you about the Miami Heat. Really enjoy talking with you about just about anything, sir. So thank you so much for joining me today on Miami Mic'd Up.
Pleasure's mine.